What is up, everybody? This is Jalen Short, aka Head Honcho, and I'm back once again. Another episode of the Head Honcho Sports Podcast. Today we got a lot of topics to talk about. We're gonna start with the LA Clippers and their whole situation. That entire thing is just crazy. I'm gonna give you guys my spiel on it and what I think they should do from the outside looking in. Then we're gonna touch on Tyrese Maxey and the Philadelphia 76ers. They have a chance to be, in my opinion, top two in the East, maybe, and obviously I don't think they finished third, maybe second or first, but we'll get into that. Then we're gonna touch on Tyrese Haliburton on being the new age point guard and him doing great things in Indiana. We're gonna touch on SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, OKC, and we're gonna touch on Wimby too, and that his performance last night against Chet. And we're gonna talk about that Draymond choking incident as well. That was just crazy in itself, and he got ejected. Klay got ejected. Rudy Gobert, he got ejected. We're gonna talk about that, and then we're gonna talk about some NFL action as well. CJ Stroud, the Detroit Lions, the Bears, they got Justin Fields back today. Matt Eberflus announced, so we're gonna touch on all of that. So let's talk about the LA Clippers first. Here's the thing: Ty Lue understands that he has four players that are capable of getting 30 any night, right? He knows that. So obviously he's just trying to make it work, get guys in the right spots. And last night against Denver, they played small almost the entire game. Zubac wasn't really a factor in that game. He started the game, obviously, but he wasn't really a factor, right? So when you have that type of formula, he said in his post-game press conference that Jokic posting up kind of hurt him a lot. And Kenny Smith said something on Inside the NBA last night. He said, "You laugh at the things you cry at," right? And what he meant by that is Ty Lue alluded to the fact that them going small, it worked. It definitely worked. They got the looks that they wanted offensively. They capitalized on Denver not being able to move with them, especially Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic can't really move with smaller defenders, right? And like I said, they got the shots they wanted. And everybody touched the ball. Ball was moving. They were playing fast and transition. Everything was good. But on the other side, the defensive side of the ball, Jokic posted them up every single time they went small. He said, "Give me the ball. I'm going to post this guy up." And most of the time, it was either Kawhi Leonard or Paul George. And when you have that, You can't. What can you do? Nikola Jokic is two-time MVP, NBA champ, Finals MVP. What are you gonna do, right? And the Clippers doubled. They doubled most of the time, and once he doubled, you can't. Doubling a guy like Nikola Jokic, he can pass out of almost every double team. So when you double him, it just opens the floodgates for however many opportunities that Jokic sees on the court. Whether it's Aaron Gordon cutting, whether it's a three-pointer by Reggie Jackson, whether it's Kentavious Caldwell-Pope getting a three or a jump shot. And Jamal Murray didn't even play last night, which is crazy. It was a close game. You know, the Clippers didn't get blown out. It was a close game. They lost by 3 points. But overall, the Clippers, their formula just isn't working right now. And here's what I think they should do. Everyone, I think Ty Lue should look at it like this. Everyone out of those four players, out of Harden, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Russell Westbrook. Out of those four, in my opinion, three of those guys can change up their game and still be effective. And that's Harden, Kawhi, and Paul George. Russ, I don't think he can change his game and be effective. Russ is a downhill attacking type of player. He can't really shoot the ball, streaky shooter. He's in attack mode the entire game, and that's when he's at his best, right? But when you don't have him in at the end of the game, when you keep taking him out, and when you're not letting him be Russ, that's when trouble starts. Because if Russ has the ball and he's facilitating kind of, and he's, you know, attacking downhill and looking for guys when he gets in the paint, that's great for the Clippers, in my opinion. Because Harden can spot up. Paul George can definitely spot up. He's a great shooter. And Kawhi Leonard, in my opinion, he's an underrated shooter. Kawhi Leonard can shoot. He can shoot the ball so well. And if Russ is finding these guys and being himself, that formula can work for the Clippers. and again, this is just me. This is just speculation. This is just what I would do and what I think. Right. Obviously, I don't know the situation with the Clippers. I don't know, you know, what's going on in that locker room and what conversations they've had together. I don't know. But I think that should be what the Clippers do moving forward, because they lost six straight. And what they've done so far hasn't hasn't translated to wins. So Russ just has to be in attack mode. Kawhi, PG, and James Harden can, you know, play off of Russ and spot up and maybe get one-on-one opportunities here and there. And they just need to move without the ball and cut back, you know, backdoor cuts, and they need to everything, dribble handoffs, everything, right? And at the end of games, maybe James can kind of take on that facilitating role that Russ had almost the entire game, and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard can take you home. James can facilitate, you know, get guys in the right spots maybe the last 5 minutes of the game, and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard can just take you home just off of making tough shots, in which they've proved they can do. And that's what I think would work in that situation, because like I mentioned, you can't ask Russ to sit in the corner and be in the dunker spot and just say figure it out. You can't say that. Russ has to have the ball in his hands to be effective. And that's at the top of the key, on the wing, setting screens and in transition. Like, he has to have the ball. James has to have at this point of his career, he wants to have the ball. But at the same time, like I said, guys, James doesn't have to have the ball to be effective. He can get the ball late in the shot clock, make a move and hit a three, right? Step back three. You know, he's not as explosive as he was when he was in Houston, but he can still get to the rim and get fouled, right? So he at this point of his career, I wouldn't ask him to have the ball the entire shot clock or the entire possession. I'm not going to ask him that. I need Russ to do that. Russ, you've averaged a triple-double before. You've facilitated before. You found guys when you drive into the paint. Everybody collapses on Russ and he kicks it out. It's a three-pointer, right? And that's the formula I think that they should use. I don't know about the small ball thing. I honestly don't, because Jokic punished them last night. I mean, it wasn't even funny the way he punished them when he was guarded by a little guy. And that's why I think he had 28 or 30. That's why he had that many points, because you can't. It's tough, especially in the Western Conference when you're playing bigger teams. The Lakers, they play in your building in the same city. The Lakers, they're a big team. You have Anthony Davis, Christian Wood. You have bigger guys. You have Jackson Hayes coming off the bench. You have big guys. And if you're playing small ball, I don't know if that's going to work against these bigger teams. And in the Eastern Conference, like Milwaukee, you know, Philadelphia, big teams like that who have big guys who can score the ball. I don't know if that's going to work against those teams. But, you know, we'll see what happens with Ty Lue does. And, you know, he said he saw some good things in that post-game press conference yesterday against the Nuggets. He said he saw some good things, but I don't know, man. I just, that whole situation with them, it's tough to see. But at the same time, I just think the players who can adjust should adjust. And the player that can't really adjust to another type of, you know, flow, another type of, he can't really just say, you know, I'm going to change my game. He can't do that. Russ can't, right? So, yeah, man, they should just try to do that and maybe hope for the best. They're going to get Daniel Tice. Indiana just waived him, I believe, and they're going to get Daniel Tice. And they need a size, right? So they're going to get Daniel Tice from Indiana. That's great for them because Mason Plumlee is out right now with the injury. So Zubac was literally the only center, right? So getting Daniel Tice, that's going to give them some size, give them some depth off the bench, you know, as far as bigs. And Bones Highland as well, I want to touch on him really quick. Ty Lue told, I believe, Chris Haynes from TNT that Bones Highland won't be in the rotation for the foreseeable future. And that's tough for a guy like that, man. Bones is so shifty. He can score the ball. I mean, bro, he can score with the best of them, right? So not playing Bones, you know, coming to the season, Bones is probably going to be a candidate for the sixth man of the year with him and Norman Powell. So coming into this season, I had high hopes for him. I really did. But, you know, when you get a guy like James Harden, he comes in, he just changes the whole type of system that you have. So Bones isn't going to play, and that's very unfortunate. I hate to see that, because like I said, I had so much excitement for him and for him to prove himself. He kind of showed some flashes in Denver, but Denver didn't really let him. They still had him on a little leash. Mike Malone did, right? So that's very, very tough for a guy like Bones Highland. But let's move to the 76ers. talk about Tyrese Maxey. He put up 50 last week. And he's a top 10 point guard, maybe top 5 point guard. You have point guards like Tyrese Halliburton, Steph, Luka. I don't know if Kyrie's still a point guard at this point of his career, but you have point guards, Dame, Ja. He might be top 5 currently right now. Ja's not playing, but he might be top 5 currently. He's for sure a lock for top 10. And the green light that he has in Philadelphia right now is crazy. I mean, Nick Nurse said coming to the season, he said he wanted Tyrese to take 20 shots minimum every game, 20. And I loved it because he showed that he can score the ball last season, but he couldn't really do much because James Harden dominated the ball. And it was kind of him, James, and Joel Embiid kind of did a pick and roll almost the entire game. And Tyrese Maxey just standing on the wing, standing in the corner waiting for a shot. But now you see Tyrese Maxey creating, right? He's in those pick and rolls now with Joel Embiid. He's creating off the dribble, step backs, getting to the lane, finishing around the rim. He can do it all, right? He can get to the free throw line as well. So a guy like that with Joel Embiid, I think they're a better team now without Harden, obviously, because you have veterans. You got Robert Covington. I believe you have KJ Martin as well in that trade. You got Nicholas Batum. They have veterans that can fill in spots, right? That can do what they're told. They can knock down three-pointers, and they can defend. So I think they're a better team now, especially with Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse is a defensive-minded coach, so he's going to get guys in the right spots defensively. But they're better now, and I think that they can be a top two. Maybe they can maybe be number one in the East this season just because of – I think they're going to be like – I'll compare them to like a team like the Chicago Bulls in the 2010, 2011, in that era. They were always the number one seed. They always won 60 games. But and guess who was number two? The Miami Heat. And they beat the Chicago Bulls in the playoffs. And they went on to go to championships and things like that and win championships. So I think it's going to be a similar case in Philadelphia where they play a great regular season. But against teams like Milwaukee or Boston teams like Milwaukee or Boston, when you play them in the playoffs, I think they're going to come up short. But in the regular season, they're going to be a great team. But yeah, the Sixers are way better right now. It's not even close, right? They lost against Indiana last night because of Tyrese Halliburton, who I'm going to talk about next. But before that, I believe they won 6 or 7 straight. So they're going to be fine. Tyrese Maxey, he's going to have an All-NBA season, All-Star season, I'm sure. Because he's just tremendous, man. He's a bucket for sure. But let's move to Tyrese Halliburton. Like I mentioned, he's a new age point guard. He's one of those guys that he has an unorthodox shooting style, unorthodox playing style in general. But he gets the job done. He's smart. He's savvy. He doesn't get sped up by anything. He has a lot of poise. And he's consistent. You know what you're going to get from Tyrese Halliburton every game. He's going to have close to 30 or between 20 and 30 every game. And he's going to have between maybe 8 and 11 assists every game. And maybe more than that, any given night, right? He had 15 last night, I believe, and 7 rebounds. But yeah, you know what you're getting from him. He's taller point guard. He's 6'7", I believe. And he's slim. He can defend as well. Gets in passing lanes, deflects passes, and he's a solid on ball defender. Not the greatest, but he can stay in front of somebody, right? Because of his length. So he's gonna be great for Indiana. I do think that Indiana, they need a guy like that. I think they need to keep Tyrese Halliburton and Miles Turner for the foreseeable future. I think they need to keep those two guys, because that's what's winning you games right now. Miles Turner is one of the better centers in this league, maybe top 10, right? And Tyrese Halliburton, he's top 5 point guard in the league, and he doesn't turn the ball over. Had 0 turnovers last night. I believe he had 0 turnovers in the last 2 games. But he's tremendous. And to see that type of player in Indiana, it reminds me of that era where Paul George was lighting it up, bringing excitement to the city of Indiana. With that small type of market. But he's doing great things, and I believe he's going to be an All-NBA season for him, All-Star type of season once again. And Indiana should not play around with this guy. They shouldn't be, every time he's up for an extension or he's up for a new contract, give it to him right away. You shouldn't play around and be like, oh, we're going to see what he does. No. Because you saw that Paul George incident happen, where you just let him trade him to the Clippers. You traded him to, I believe, Oklahoma City, and you almost got nothing back for him. So, I mean, when you have a guy like that, you need to keep him, especially in a small market. Try to keep him, throw however much money as he wants. Get the guys around him that he needs, and he can be effective. But let's talk about the Chicago Bulls really quick. They're talking about trading Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan as well. I think they should trade both, just out of respect for those guys, right? They're not, and they're at this point of their careers, they need to win. They need to be in winning programs, on winning teams. They just need to win basketball games and have a chance to compete for a championship at this point of their career. And they're not going to do that in Chicago. You still have Big Vooch. You still have Kobe White, Pat Williams. You still have pieces, Dalen Terry. You still have pieces, and Alex Caruso, Ayo Dosunmu. But they're not going to beat teams like Milwaukee. They're not even going to beat teams like Cleveland. So they need to trade DeMar, trade Zach. Maybe I don't think Philly's going to trade anyone right now. Philly's rolling, so I think they're going to stick with what they have. But to teams like Miami, you know, teams like that, to where they can get pieces back for a guy like Zach LaVine or DeMar DeRozan. I just think that this entire, the Bulls have no direction. They don't know where they're going. They don't have an identity, right? They're just playing basketball with two great guys getting buckets, and they fill in pieces around them, but it's not enough to win a championship. It should be, right? If Lonzo Ball was playing, we would have competed in the East, right? Maybe second round, you know, maybe possibly get into the Eastern Conference Finals against a team like Milwaukee or Boston. But we don't have Lonzo, so it's kind of tough when you don't have a traditional point guard to get guys in the right spots, get guys set up, and kind of control the pace of the game like he did in 2021, I believe, when we were first in the East, or 2022 when we were first in the East. But that's unfortunate for a guy like Lonzo. Hopefully he comes back healthy. But I mean, yeah, the Bulls just don't have they have no direction right now. So I just think they need to cut their losses, give those guys the respect, trade them, get pieces back, and just kind of go into like a little mini rebuild, right? Kind of establish who you are as an organization, what you want out of your guys, and just kind of compete with certain teams in the Eastern Conference. And maybe, you know, getting the play in, or maybe kind of compete for that AC and just see where it goes from there. But let's move on to OKC. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, tremendous. I mean, he's so nice, man. I mean, he's smooth. I believe he's one of the smoothest players in the NBA along with Paul George. He knows how to score. He knows the game is about a bucket. He knows how to score the basketball. And Oklahoma City, they have so many young pieces, so many guys that can score. Jalen Williams can score. Chet can score. Lou Dort can put up some numbers. Josh Giddey can put up some numbers. Josh Giddey is kind of the point guard who gets guys, you know, where they need to be. And Shai is like the two. Jalen Williams is at the three. Chet, like I said, he can score. He can block shots as well. So, okay, see, they have a great young nucleus. And I think along with teams like Detroit and Houston, they can be great, not good. They can be great teams in maybe 2-4 years. They can be solid teams where you're like, man, I do not want to play these guys tonight. If they keep those nucleus, if they keep that nucleus together, like in Houston and in Detroit as well, keep guys together and let them gel and let them kind of develop together, I think that it'll breed success. Because in Houston, you have Jabari Smith, you know, Sengun, you have that big guy over there. You still have vets like, you know, Fred VanVleet, who kind of keep guys in line. You have Jalen Green as well over there in Houston. You have a great coach in Ime Udoka. So you can have success in maybe 2-3 years, getting the playoffs, maybe 5th-6th seed, and kind of shock some teams or compete with some teams in the West. And along with Detroit. Detroit, they're great. They have young pieces. You know, with Monty Williams, that great head coach, Cade Cunningham, Jalen Duren, you have James Wiseman come off the bench, Marvin Bagley, Killian Hayes. You have guys, Marcus Sasser, great rookie. You have dudes, man. And I think keeping nucleuses together on young teams is key, because you don't want guys going, you know, trying to break off and trying to do their own thing. You have to keep those guys together and let them gel and let them develop. And I think it'll breed great things for those three teams. But yeah, SGA, he's super nice, man. He's one of the top, I think he's top 10 in the league, scoring the ball. He doesn't really have any weaknesses in this game. He's taller. He's 6'8 or 6, yeah, I believe 6'8. He's tall, so he's long. He can take you off the dribble. He's you know, behind the backs, you know, between the legs. He can do it all. He can shoot the ball as well. But let's move to talk about this Draymond situation. Draymond, to me, he just does too much. He tries to be this tough guy and tries to do all of this and the antics. I just need him to relax because he just does a lot, right? And sometimes just too much. Steve Kerr doesn't want to say anything because that's his guy and that he's coaching him and he loves Draymond. They wouldn't have four championships without Draymond. We all know that. But at some point, Draymond just has to stop with the tough guy thing. Like, we get that you're the enforcer on that team. We understand that Steph and Klay are not going to get in guys' faces and yell and do all of this. We understand that. But you don't have to choke a guy and put him in a headlock. Like, you don't have to do all that. Just kind of separate the guys. Klay Thompson and Jaden McDaniel had a little tug of war. They had pushed each other back and forth, and Klay's jersey ended up ripped, and they tried to say Rudy Gobert had his arm around Klay's neck. It wasn't even around. He didn't have Klay in a headlock. His arm was close to Klay's neck, and they just ran with that and was like, oh, that's why Draymond did what he did. Man, get out of here. Draymond just needs to stop doing too much. Like I mentioned, we get that you're the enforcer. We understand all of that. Just relax and play basketball. Stop with all the antics. You were talking trash to Anthony Edwards the other night, and he gave you 33, I believe. Hit a lot of tough shots down the stretch. Just stop with the talking. Like, we get that's what Draymond is, and obviously me saying that is not going to stop him. He's still going to do what he does. But this is just my opinion. He just needs to stop with all the trying to be the enforcer. He's trying too hard, in my opinion. You know, you didn't have to choke Rudy Gobert. You didn't have to do that. Just separate the guys and just you didn't have to be ejected. Separate the two and just get on with the game. Simple as that. And Steph obviously wasn't playing, and you know, he probably would have separated those guys and told Draymond to chill out. But yeah, it's getting a little crazy the way Draymond acts and what he does. He's taking it a little too far at times, you know. But like I mentioned, he's still going to do what Draymond does. He's still going to be that type of player. That's all he knows, and that's all he's going to bring to the table for a team like Golden State Warriors, because he has four chips, so he can rightfully so do things like that. But let's move to the NFL right now to talk about C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud is one of the best rookie quarterbacks I've ever seen. He's playing tremendous football right now. I believe he only has two interceptions on the year. I believe 15 touchdowns. And he's great. I mean, DeMeco Ryans has that team playing great football. He's leading the candidate, in my opinion, for the coach of the year, because the stuff he's doing with that Texas team is tremendous. He's taken them from the ground up, built that organization, and kind of implemented his culture and his system on that team, especially in that locker room. You know, you brought in Will Anderson, you brought in C.J. Stroud, rookies. They're great rookies, by the way. Both are playing great. And you kind of said, hey, let's figure this out. Let's get some wins. If they make the playoffs, I guarantee you C.J. Stroud is going to win the MVP. Guaranteed. If he keeps playing the way he's playing, you know, not turning the ball over, throwing touchdowns, he's going to win the MVP. If the Texans are in the playoffs, because they're a relevant team. They already beat Jacksonville in their own division. They beat the snot out of them. If they beat Jacksonville again, I guarantee you he's going to win the MVP. He's going to be the first rookie to win MVP, I believe, since Jim Brown a long, long time ago. But yeah, he's playing great. He's one of those type of guys that doesn't really make mistakes. He calculates every move and every throw. And when you have a guy like that leading your offensive unit, and he's the franchise guy. And I believe they made the right decision, because I can tell you firsthand, and I've said this, you guys can go back and look at previous episodes, you know, back before the NFL draft this season. I always said C.J. Stroud was better than Bryce Young. And obviously, C.J. Stroud has the better team around him, but I just think Stroud's abilities were better than Bryce Young's. Bigger, smarter, you know, he just had the NFL body right now. And I believe I think the Panthers should have took C.J. Stroud first. And maybe C.J. Stroud would have looked like Bryce Young right now, where they don't really have a team. Bryce Young's really kind of not really getting into rhythm in any games he's playing in. Maybe he would have looked like that. But since he went to the Texans, now he has a team around him. He kind of has a coach that understands the dilemma that they're in as far as not having enough talent, but they're still trying to go out there and win games. But man, Stroud, I said Stroud was better than Bryce Young. I've said I would have took him, you know, before Bryce Young, but you know, the Panthers just saw something in Bryce Young. He's playing. Bryce Young isn't playing bad, by the way. He just doesn't have a team around him. He doesn't have weapons around him, like I said. But Stroud is playing great. He should be the MVP candidate. He should be in the MVP conversation right now, leading the conversation. And like I said, if they're in the playoffs, I promise you, CJ Stroud is going to win MVP if he keeps playing the way he's playing. But let's move to the Detroit Lions. They're playing great as well. They're 7-2 right now. They beat the Los Angeles Chargers in LA on Sunday, 41-38. Dan Campbell, man, I don't even play for the Lions, obviously, and I'll run through a brick wall for that guy. The way he talks to his players, the way he conveys messages, everything is just from the heart, right? He kind of says, you know what, like he said in his introductory press conference where he said they're going to be the grittiest team. They're going to bite, scratch, claw to win games. They're going to grab a kneecap or whatever. You know, I believe most of you guys saw that. But he knows that he turned this organization around. He has a feeling that this team could do special things. They're 7-2, like I said, and they play the Bears this week. They might be they're going to guarantee you they're going to move to 8-2. So Detroit, that I do think that they're going to upset a team like – they're going to upset somebody. I don't know who yet. But Detroit is not going to go out in the wild card round of the playoffs. They're not. They're just not going to do that. They're going to be maybe the second seed. Philly might be the first seed. Detroit might be the second seed or maybe third. But they're going to upset someone. I don't know who it's going to be. But they're going to upset maybe the Eagles, maybe the 49ers, maybe even the Cowboys. The Cowboys are going to be most likely to be around the fifth seed, fourth, fifth seed, maybe third. But yeah, Detroit, man, they're playing great. You know, Jared Goff is playing great. Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, he's kind of finally getting the touches and getting his rhythm in their offense now. And David Montgomery came back last week. Came back against the Los Angeles Chargers and made an impact. So they have weapons. Amon-Ra St. Brown is the best wide receiver on the team and one of the best receivers in the league right now. And defense, they're great. Their secondary is kind of just a little shaky at times, but you know, they get the job done overall. And I think the O-line is arguably the best in the game, you know, competing with the Eagles. So yeah, Detroit, they're gonna upset someone. I don't know who yet, but I definitely see that coming. And last, talk about the Chicago Bears. Justin Fields coming back against Detroit this week. Man, I do think that they're going to lose this game because Justin Fields has to. Matt Eberflus said 7 weeks. 7 weeks left in the season. Matt Eberflus said 7 weeks is enough time for him to show that he's a great quarterback in this league and one of the best in the league. And I agree. You know, I hope he does show that, because I'm going to have the first or second or third pick in the draft. And if they take a quarterback, I'm going to be extremely upset. But hopefully he proves that he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league, because he has the ability to do so, but these coaching staff kind of held him back the entire season, as you guys know, as I've talked about in previous episodes. But I do think we're going to lose this game. I just hope Justin Fields, for the rest of the season, plays great so we don't have to figure out another quarterback problem. I want us to fill holes on offense and defense, but I want us to know that we have a quarterback in Justin Fields, because I honestly believe so. It's just about coaching right now. But that's the end of the show, guys. I appreciate you guys listening. Appreciate all my listeners out there, man. You know, from Head Honcho, Jay Short, I'm going to talk to you guys next week. And I'm going to link my Instagram and Twitter in the description, as always. And yeah, I'll see you guys next week. Peace out.